Final thoughts of the regular season, our initial thoughts of the offseason here on a special WTSP Wednesday with Evan Klosky. It's time to talk offseason plans and priorities. Let's get right down to it.
You are Locked On Buccaneers, your daily Tampa Bay Buccaneers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Bucs fans, and welcome to the Locked On Bucs podcast, part of Locked On Podcast Network, your team every single day. We are your daily podcast covering the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, free and available on all platforms, including YouTube and the 10 Tampa Bay Plus app on your Roku or your Amazon Fire Stick. And we thank you for making us your first listen or your first view of the offseason, because that's where the Buccaneers are officially at. Now, I'm David Harrison of Sports Illustrated, Fan Nation's Bucs Game Day. .com on Twitter at dharrison82, and it's WTSP Wednesday, which means even though James isn't here, Evan Klosky of 10 Tampa Bay, their sports director, is here, and you can also find him on Twitter, of course, at eklosky WTSP. Today's episode brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline has you covered this season, more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline, where the game starts. And of course, we thank you for bringing us into your home, office, car, wherever you are. Didn't mean for that to rhyme, but we thank you for making us first listener for you every single day. Evan, we're hoping, honestly, that I would be subbing in for WTSP Wednesday for the first time, maybe ever, and we would be talking about an ugly Buccaneers win headed into the divisional round, heading on the road to San Francisco. But instead, we're talking about the future of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers franchise after the season ended on Monday Night Football for all of the football world watching world to see. And specifically want to kick off this conversation today with the future of offensive coordinator Byron Leftwich, who was reportedly expected to be fired. And I think everybody kind of jumped to the conclusion of like, boom, Tuesday, that's going to happen. But as of right now, he has actually not been fired.
Yeah. Listening to Todd Bowles at the end of season press conference, the way I'm reading it is that he just hasn't been able to talk to his staff yet. You got to remember, they played a Monday Night Football game. They probably didn't get home until 1 o'clock in the morning. Then everyone started cleaning out their lockers as early as 10 in the morning. I know that Tom Brady was doing it at 10:20, and then conveniently the locker room opened up at 11. But there was no time to talk to Byron. And regardless of what we think is going to happen, which, you know, I don't dispute Peter Report's, reporting that Byron's going to go. I will say this. I believe that the writing was already on the wall. We already knew that Byron was going to need a pretty much a Super Bowl run, if not a dominant couple of games in the playoffs, to really prove that with healthy bodies, that was the missing piece. And that was as bad of a game plan as we have seen. And it's just because, and I want to give credit to Dan Quinn, who I thought had an excellent game plan. But that's the problem, is it felt like Dallas and that loss to the Commanders maybe was them using the extra week to prepare for Tampa Bay and what that likely scenario was, because of how well Dallas did things, how well they adjusted and changed from what they did week one. And Tampa Bay, throughout this entire year, showed zero creativity, similar concepts with different window dressing. And they were exposed. They were absolutely exposed. And Byron was whooped. Bowles was also whooped from a offensive game plan standpoint from Kellen Moore. Byron's going to go. It's just a matter of when. And there's one thing that we know when you have a historic drop off is that things need to change. And you just essentially wasted potentially the last year of Tom Brady, potentially the last year of this championship window. And it's a lot of the onus has to be put on the offense for those issues, even though the defense performed badly at the end. The defense overall this season was pretty darn good. I'm not going to really yell at Todd Bowles too much because they kind of did their part.
Yeah, I mean, the defense, you know, we said the same thing on our post-game episode. The defense, by and large, during the season was really what saved the year. Like, the Buccaneers wouldn't be in the playoffs if the Buccaneers' defense didn't do a lot of the things that they did to keep them in the games, to allow Tom Brady and the offense kind of do the two-minute, four-minute, eight-minute, if you're in New Orleans or against New Orleans, offense to get those comeback wins. What was really interesting, and I want to make it clear here, like, the whole premise of, like, Byron Leftwich, which hasn't been fired yet, that's not a shot at Peter Report's reporting, because Scott Reynolds, Peter Report, they've been doing this for a long time. Absolutely stand by their reporting and trust everything that they say is coming out with accuracy. It's just like you said, Todd Bowles mentioned, hasn't talked to the coaches yet. And you know what? I applaud him for that, for coming out and saying, look, I'm not going to tell you anything before I tell the coaches anything. I haven't even had a chance to talk to them. I think that's fair. You know, and as much as media pool would love to have the headline and then the Twitters and then the scoops and all that stuff right off the bat, going to have to be a little bit patient to get to that point. What I really found interesting, Evan, in the Pewter report was the part where they mentioned that the Buccaneers had okayed a plan to fire Byron Leftwich mid-season. I think Scott said either he stated it was after the Ravens game or maybe speculated it was around the Ravens game. Either way,
that Thursday night football game and it had the extended break.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you think of that report? And then Scott kind of explained it away by saying, like, maybe there's really nobody in the offensive staff that was a kind of a clear upgrade in the play calling stance. Do you buy that, or what do you think went on with that midseason decision, but then ultimately decision not to pull the trigger, even though it was approved?
Yeah, I mean, that makes complete sense, especially when you, again, we reference Scott's report that Byron Leftwich is not going to be the only name that falls here, right? They were the worst rushing offense, so Harold Goodwin might go. You know, a lot of these BA holdovers are probably going to be gone, and Todd is going to get his own people in there who he trusts to run the offense because he's a defensive guy, right? Like, that's the thing with Todd Bowles. He let the offensive guys worry about the offense, and even though he can insert his opinions, that's not his forte. That's not why he is a head coach. That's not why he is well-regarded as a great defensive coordinator, right? Mm-hmm. He stays in his lane, and that's what a lot of these coaches do, you know. Like, Sean McVay doesn't necessarily hammer out defensive game plans, right? He trusts his defensive coaches to do that stuff. So, that makes a lot of sense. I think we were all asking that question too, fire Leftwich. But that is important, and it was a question we mentioned throughout the season when fans were yelling that. Who do you want to replace him? Who do you want to then insert his opinion? And in the end, Tom Brady still has a good relationship with Byron Leftwich. I don't want it to make it seem like Tom Brady will only work with Byron. Like, I'm seeing like, oh, like if they have a great relationship, Tom's only going to work with Byron. No. All right. Tom Brady's had many offensive coordinators in his career. All you need is trust and allowing him to have a voice in the game plan. But Tom Brady can't be the OC and the quarterback. In the end, the concepts are the concepts. You can only do so much. You can't reinvent yourself midway through the year. And when hearing that explanation, I'm okay with it because Byron Leftwich was given this job, you know, to kind of prove himself without Bruce Arians over his head. And they gave him the full season. And it was terrible. And then you know it was terrible. There really is no stone unturned. You can explain everything away of how it's a different team. But the only way I look at it is similar to what Scott said on the Pat McAfee show when explaining his report, is that it's much easier to run an offense when you have Antonio Brown, Rob Gronkowski, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, because you can run the easiest concepts in the world. The fact is you're going to be able to find the open guy because you can't cover all four of them. All four of them arguably are Hall of Fame caliber players. Obviously, Chris Godwin at the bottom of that list as far as being a Hall of Famer. I don't think he's there by any means. I'm just saying that, like, he's got that talent in him, you know, and was ascending if he didn't get that knee injury. But, I mean, those are elite talents. And then this year, you pretty much had Godwin, Evans, a shell of Leonard Fournette, an emerging Rashad White, a question mark at tight end, question marks on the offensive line. You needed to be creative. You needed to earn your paycheck. And you didn't. You just ran the same crap you had with elite athletes, and you didn't have elite athletes. So that is your job. You have to know your personnel, KYP. And in the end, Byron failed to really get the Bucs, to elevate the Bucs with what they had, which I think when Tom Brady's your quarterback, you have a lot. But you were figured out. And it just – Tom Brady wiggled you out of some situations, and it's no coincidence that hurry up worked because Tom Brady ran the offense during hurry up.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you know, you can add all the pieces you want to. You know, there's no Ali Marpet. There's no Ryan Jensen. Alex Kappa is on a Super Bowl contender in Cincinnati these days. And those things are all true, but those things are also true that it's we've said it a lot of times on our show. It's easy to lead when everything's going right. The true leader shows himself or herself when things are going wrong and you save the ship anyway. And that's where Byron Shulgin, look, maybe his future. I think we all are in agreement that his future is not in Tampa, right? But maybe his future somewhere is even as a quarterback coach. Look, there are a lot worse jobs in the world than being a quarterback coach in the National Football League. Maybe take that step down the rung a little bit, redevelop, relearn a few things, come back at it later like coaches.
Analytics will help you. Please look at numbers. Like, it just, yep, I mean, he didn't help himself in press conferences either.
No. He had some rough comments along the way. Yeah, most definitely. So there's Evan's thoughts on Byron Leftwich, pretty much echoing, I think, what a lot of us think, but with a little bit more insight and knowledge. And I think that a lot of people are going around. So you're smarter, we're smarter. We're also going to get Evan's takes on what went down Monday night, but we're not going to dive too deep into the game itself. We're going to tie those back to the entire season as well. More importantly, how those events match what we've seen throughout the year. That's coming up on WTSP Wednesday here on Locked On Bucks. And this episode of Locked On Bucks is brought to you by Ultimate Football GM. You've heard us talk about this mobile app, and can't tell you how much fun it's been competing against our fellow Locked On NFL hosts in our own network tournament. Even though they're all cheaters, and no way in shape or form should they have beaten my awesome score, but they did. It's okay. This isn't Locked On Patriots, so we're not going to talk anymore about cheaters. We're going to talk about how it's your turn to compete. More on that in a second. Have you ever dreamed of becoming an NFL GM and managing your football franchise? Of course you have, because you're a football fan, and we've all done it. So your dream can come true with this game, and it's definitely for you. You'll manage every strategic aspect of your team, play through the seasons, and lead your team to glory by hiring the right coaches and coordinators, training players, making draft picks, and navigating your franchise, all in a challenging and realistic game world. Ultimate Football GM is completely free, and it's playable offline. Play on the go as you want and when you want. And soon, Locked On Bucks fans, Ultimate Football GM is going to be hosting a special competition where you can win amazing monthly prizes. So stay tuned for details in upcoming episodes. Locked On listeners, you get a 100% free boost to your franchise when you use the promo code Locked On, all caps, all one word, in the game store. That's Locked On. Again, all one word, all caps. Make sure you check it out today. Download the game by going to ultimate-gm.com or look it up on the App Store. That's ultimate-gm.com. Ultimate Football GM, start your dynasty today. Continuing on WTSP Wednesday, David Harrison and Evan Klosky, thank you again for making Locked On Bucks your first listen, your first view every single day. Also, make sure you subscribe to Locked On NFL for daily conversations on the biggest NFL stories, in-depth analysis on the biggest games, and key predictions every Friday, including this Friday for the divisional round playoffs, where the Buccaneers unfortunately will not be playing. Locked On NFL, available on YouTube, wherever you get podcasts. Evan, the Bucs offense looked like maybe it was turning a corner, right, against Carolina Panthers, not even a full half a game against the Atlanta Falcons. In the final six quarters that the starters played for the offense, they got into scoring range 50% of the time, which is pretty good, especially compared to what they've been doing for most of the season. I clung to that as my hope and my reason for why they could possibly win this wild card game. But against Dallas, we saw the same thing we saw for the majority of 16 and a half games. What do you diagnose as being the problem? If you can even pinpoint to one thing, what would you say is the one thing that has been plaguing this Buccaneers offense? Because a lot of people don't want to say that it's simply Byron Leftwich's play calling or Todd Bowles' game management.
Yeah, I mean, look, Todd Bowles had some, and I want to say, like, Todd Bowles is going to be back next year. I know that fans are not necessarily big fans of his, and understandable, he's still got to prove himself. But I just want to say that he did not get to hire any of his staff. It was a really weird situation, yes. And, I'll get into that kind of stuff in a little bit. But just with the offense, I just think it's a lack of creativity. Lack of creativity offensively. I mentioned it a little bit before. The only time I was impressed with this offense was the first half of the Bengals. I don't know where that went. Like, they just, like, had motion and play action, and we're going to pass a lot. And, like, they did play action and hurry up well. That was the only thing they did well. And they actually struggled. Cowboys were well prepared, man. Even in the hurry up, they tried to do it and it didn't work. I mean, and they ran, so it's not like I want to say that the hurry up equaled everything. The hurry up worked yesterday, or 2 days ago, whatever, Monday night. I don't know what day it is anymore. It worked because in the end it was 31-6, and they finally softened up and just wanted you to burn time. So that's when they started picking up some points again. But I really do think that they needed fresh ideas, new concepts. They didn't change, and they were very easy to figure out. And you had phenomenal players in Mike Evans, Chris Godwin. Chris Godwin, I thought, was utilized a lot, but I thought his role was way too limited. I think he's a better receiver than what they made him out to be, which is essentially a dink and doink, help me on third downs guy, which is a great role to play. But, like, he can also stretch the field. And I understand not doing that earlier in the season, but they never went back to it. It's like they nursed it, that knee injury, the entire year, and they typecast him in a role that he just never grew out of. So, you know, Russell Gage was kind of hurt. I thought they completely underutilized Julio Jones. I know that he wasn't 100% healthy, but, like, come on. The guy still has unbelievable mitts. You saw it there on that touchdown grab. Yeah. So, yeah, I just think offensively they are who they are, and they were led by somebody who, from a schematic standpoint, from just an ability to really attack defenses, was bottom third of the league of just creativity, thought process, and just how to really elevate his team.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Tom Brady regressed a little bit, but I thought he could have, if he was properly supported, I felt like things could have been different a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of what we saw in Tom Brady was a lack of confidence. And whether it was a lack of confidence in the line, the play calling, the scheme, or a combination of those three things, you know what I mean? I think a lot of what Tom was going through was just accumulation of pressure week after week after week based on what was happening in front of him in the Buccaneers offense. And you can't blame, you know, Tom may be superhuman, but he's still human. He's just superhuman, you know what I mean? So that's still going to get to a guy. But we've touched on it a couple times, but I want to dive into this because there are still a good amount of people who want to see Todd Bowles removed after 1 year, one and done, and you know, we've seen enough. But I think, are we making excuses or is there validity? Because I think you and I are on the same page here, so I think we need to kind of explain that a little bit more. Is, you know, most head coach, every head coach, honestly, except for the ones with the interim tag, which Todd Bowles doesn't have the interim tag, they get to pick their staff. They bring in their guys, and you talk about defensive head coaches. I cover another defensive head coach in Washington, and absolutely, his say in what the offense is going to do is fairly limited. It's more so of a strategic, like, hey, we want to control the clock, or hey, we'd like to take big shots. We're really not getting down any of the X's and O's. And really, I mean, Todd was asked about his relationship with the offensive players because they're really not even getting in the weeds with the Jimmys and Joes. And when you're a defensive play caller head coach, you're really kind of separated from the offense. But we have an offensive coordinator who really, it's his first time that we've seen him running the offense by himself without a BA over his shoulder telling him what to do and doing all these things. So how much should we put on Todd Bowles for what happened this season?
I mean, he's responsible. Like, he didn't turn it around. And, you know, I mean, it's just tough because he didn't have time to even really hire a defensive coordinator to kind of take that off of his plate as well. He had to be the DC. It's just the way that I explained it on 10 Tampa Bay and the way that I've explained it this entire year is that how you practice is how you play. And there's not a coincidence that the offseason calamity between Brady retiring, unretiring in the 11th hour, to then Bruce Arians, who was doing all the draft prep and doing – he was ready to coach. He was going to coach this season with Blaine Gabbert as his quarterback. Then all of a sudden he decides to step down, which was definitely part of I don't want to get in Tom Brady's way. Our workflow is just different, whatever. So now you elevate Todd Bowles into a role which, by the way, 2 months prior, the season had ended, he was thinking he's doing something totally – different. Yeah. He's got to keep staffers who it just calamity of offseason equal calamity in season. You need to give Bowles at least a full offseason to do him, to just see what he does. And does it make things better or does it make things worse? Let's say Tom Brady returns and you don't meet expectations. You got to go. But let's say Tom Brady doesn't return. Why are you going to put in a new head coach when you're pretty much going through a rebuild? Let let Todd Bowles eat the L's at this point. Like, it just, you know, it then becomes a tank for Caleb Williams situation. And we can debate in further episodes whether they're actually bad enough to do that. I think they might be a little bit stuck in the middle, especially in the division they're in. But we'll discuss that another time. But in the end, Bowles didn't get a fair shake this year. That's not to say he's not responsible and was well equipped with a lot of talent. With a lot of talent, very similar personnel, which thrived 1 year prior. That's a problem. It's a problem when you have nearly every starter minus Shaq Barrett on the field there for a playoff game and you get roasted. That is the most disappointing part of everything. On the biggest stage, you fell flat on your face. Kellen Moore whooped you schematically. Oh, yeah. And I don't know if they stole hand signals or whatever it was, but that's a problem. That's rookie level stuff if that happened. Yeah. So, I mean, the fact that you got owned like that on Monday Night Football in the playoffs at home with your crowd, with the fact that you were only a 2.5-point underdog, woof. So I'm not here making excuses for Todd Bowles, but I certainly will defend the fact that this was a weird year weird year, right, and he needs a full season to do it the way he needs to do it.
Yeah, I kind of envision it. Like, you got like three painters painting three different pictures. BA's painting the overall image. Byron's painting the offense the way that Tom's telling him, and BA's telling him to paint it, and Todd's painting the defense over here. And then mid striker of the paintbrush, they're told to swap, and now Todd's got to paint BA's picture and his picture, and Byron's over there painting his picture with nobody supervising him over his shoulder.
It's a little bit. I like that analogy. Yeah,
it's a little bit chaotic. So, you know, again, responsible, absolutely. Head coach, you are totally responsible. You are on the hook, and I know Todd isn't going to try to shirk that responsibility, but I do think all of those factors, I think they're real, and I think that they're logical, and I think they need to be taken into account when we talk about the job that Todd Bowles did this season. We'll see what happens next season after he gets to pick his guy. Even, I mean, 0.1 out of 10 chance, I think, right? Even if it's Byron, at least this time Todd picked Byron, if it is Byron, which it's not going to be.
Correct.
One out of 10, Evan, before we get to this second break, how hot is Todd Bowles' seat coming into the offseason to you?
His hot seat coming into the offseason is a 3, but I will say that – talk to me next season and let's see the decisions that he makes and how that year goes. And then I would say that number is going to move fast and furious, right? It's 3 entering the offseason. He can do what he's got to do, but the confidence level and the margin for error is going to be slim. So that scale is going to slide fast if it goes south fast.
So that flame might turn up quick. It's low right now, but it might turn up. Correct. The gas is ready to get turned up, I think, is what we're saying. Look, new offensive coordinator, most likely, maybe a new quarterback, a stressful time. That's what's facing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this offseason. So let's get some offseason priorities set from Evan here in just a minute. 3 of them, and we're going to make some Buccaneers bold predictions for from now till about mid-July here on Locked on Bucs. And today's episode of Locked on Bucs is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline.net is your number one source for your sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. Get the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there, from pro football to college football when it comes back in the season. Basketball, World Cup comes around every so often. Golf, betonline.net's got it all for you. And if you love sports podcasts, which you probably do because you're listening to this, you'll find those at BetOnline as well. Always the fastest and easiest way to get your betting info. So head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more at BetOnline, where the game starts. This episode also brought to you by Built Bar. If you're looking for a delicious treat but don't want all the fat and the calories, then you got to try a Built Bar. If you want to eat healthier but you don't want to compromise taste, then we've got just the right thing for you with Built. Health is actually tasty. Seriously, so delicious, you're not even going to realize that they're good for you. What makes them so good? Well, for starters, they're covered in 100% real chocolate, and they come in unbelievable flavors that would never be healthy in any other form. Churro, peanut butter brownie, coconut almond, amongst others. The bars taste like candy bars while maintaining amazing macros, only 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, while packing 17 grams of protein. And now you don't even have to wait to get your box. If you want to go to built.com, you certainly can. Or you can go to Walmart, or you can go to Sam's Club. At Walmart, go to the pharmacy section, get yourself a 4-bar box of cookies and cream, double chocolate or coconut puff. And if you're close to a Sam's Club, head in there, get a 13-bar box with our hit flavors, brownie batter and churro. You'll thank us later. All right, guys, typically here on WTSB Wednesday, we're getting game predictions from Evan Klofsky of Tampa Bay, the sports director over there, the best news station you can find in Tampa. We're still going to get predictions. They're just not going to be score predictions. Tampa Bay is in the offseason. Offseason's all about getting better. That's what we're talking about. So we're going to find out where Evan wants to see Tampa improve this offseason, and we're going to see if we can get some bold predictions out of him. Evan, I want 3 offseason priorities, if you can give them to me. Yep. And let's start, you know what, let's start with the important ones. Get the headline right out of the way. What is offseason priority number 1?
Offensive staff. I think you have to, and it'll lead right into number 2, you have to have that structure. You got to swing big, totally revamp that offensive unit, bring in someone like Todd Monken, Bill O'Brien, whoever, to inject some life into this offense. Get that playbook, get your players, your veterans looking at that thing, and let's get that ball rolling, because you know that change needs to be made first. Who are coaching the players, right? I know, because 2 is going to be Tom Brady. So but until we have that decision, we can't go to Tom Brady, because Tom Brady's not going to decide what he's going to do until probably end of February. He's going to go beyond his 40 days that he gave himself, whatever crap he did. So he's going to take his time this time. If he's going to retire, he's going to have to be 100%. So, so number one, offensive staff. Two, woo Tom Brady. The Buccaneers have they have a month to pretty much have Tom Brady at their beck and call. They can talk to him. No other team can talk to him. So you got to now convince him, do whatever you can. You know, the Glazers have an amazing relationship with him. Jason Light has an amazing relationship with him. Do not take the organization's trust in Tom and Tom's trust in the organization for granted. I think that matters to him. The fact that they gave Tom everything he has ever wanted. You need 10 days off from training camp? Go. You want to go before Pittsburgh game and hang out with your family in New York? Go. I mean, they bent the scheduling was based around what Tom wanted. So not a lot of teams are going to do that. And not to mention, you have to rebuild that trust at 46. Do you really want to go into another locker room, learn new personalities, new people, new coaches? That's why it's kind of like the Sean Payton thing makes sense because you trust him. Right. But if you don't have that at your next step and you're just like you're going over to, let's say, Miami with Mike McDaniel, that's a new situation. You can trust Mike, but it's just why at 46? Why do that? Just go back to your home and you know that they're going to sign whoever you want and do whatever you think. So in saying that, is Tom Brady back or not? Because if Tom Brady's back, you do the same thing. You punt the rebuild down the curb. You screw with the cap. You screw yourself over in 24, 25, 26. Whatever, restructure, and the cap is a myth. We all know that, and you build a potential winner this time around. If Brady doesn't come back, then you blow it up. I mean, you essentially let everyone go, start from scratch to an extent, and you know, try to be as competitive as possible. But you got to get younger. You got to inject some youth in there. Maybe make some trades to get some picks, and just sort of, I mean, it's a soft tank. You know, it really is. And hope that you stink enough to get Caleb Williams because, again, I think he's that guy. Three, you need to start fixing this defensive line. It was a problem last year. It's a problem this year. I remember talking with Andrew Whitworth midway through the season with his Thursday Night Football stuff and asking him his thoughts on the Buccaneers because they played him twice in his final year before winning the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And he was just speaking more so from the Buccaneers defensive standpoint. And I didn't ask him about Shaq Barrett. He said, because I'm sure he was going up against him, that Shaq had already lost a step, that he felt like Shaq had already lost a step, and now he has an Achilles injury, which is a bad combo. That's a really tough injury to come back from, period. He thinks he's going to be ready for the start of training camp? Maybe, but is he the same guy? We don't know. I love what Joe Tryon-Shenka is doing. Is he a number one edge guy? Or, you know, we don't know that yet. And not to mention the defensive line, Veo was fantastic at getting sacks. That's something that he had not been doing previously. Is that a fluke? I don't know if he can do that again. I shouldn't say a fluke, an outlier, because he's built to stuff the run. And if you're not going to sign Akeem Hicks, then, I mean, that run, it just you need to create pressure on the quarterback. And Todd Bowles has had to think of creative ways to dial up pressure to do that. And that negotiates what's going on behind you to create that pressure. But what the Cowboys were able to do is they were creatively dropping people down and essentially doing what the Saints do, rushing four, creating pressure, dropping everybody else back. And that's how you beat Tom Brady, is being able to get to the quarterback with his least with as little bodies as possible. So the Buccaneers really struggle at forcing pressure on the quarterback, and it really crushes what they want to do defensively. So that rebuild has to start. And if Tom Brady comes back, you better make that a priority of bringing people who can get to the dang quarterback. And if Tom Brady doesn't come back, you better start investing in picks and really or building whatever to just get people who can see what they can do. Because, you know, I was, while I saw progress in Joe Tryon-Shenka, was very unimpressed with what Logan Hall did in year one. Definitely seems like he needs to either way bulk up or I don't know. It's confusing. I'm sort of at a crossroads of where he's at. He needs to get stronger is essentially what I got to say.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'll say, you know, when he was drafted, I basically comped him to Will Golston. Don't get me wrong, I love Will Golston. He's been a great bookend for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but he's never been that dynamic guy. He's just kind of that consistent presence. We'll make a splash play three times a year. You know what I mean? And Logan Hall, I mean, if he turns out to be that guy, okay. But you need a dynamic guy to play next to Vita. You can't just have two bookends who are just there playing next to Vita Vea. So you mentioned Tom Brady as priority number two. I know James Yarko is going to love hearing that when he listens to this episode. I'm going to put pressure on you, Evan, January 17th. By the way, my prediction is that Tom Brady will make his announcement either when I'm driving to Mobile, when I'm driving back from Mobile, or when I'm flying to or back from Indianapolis. That is when Tom Brady will make his decision, because I will be totally incapacitated and unable to do anything related to it. That is how this is going to happen. So as early as January 29th, guys, that's when I drive to Mobile. So turn on your alarms and maybe you'll get some Tom Brady news that day. But Evan, I want to put you on the spot. Totally going to hold this against you for the next year plus.
Fair enough.
What happens with Tom Brady? What's your Brady bold prediction here one day at the end of the offseason? Not even a full 24 hours into the offseason. What's your prediction?
I am seriously torn. Like my eyes and my ears from what I saw him leave the field and what I heard from him in the postgame press conference was that was it. That was it. At least in Tampa. But that was it, was sort of my vibe. The fact that his family was there, not only last night, but they were there for the Panthers game too. So I don't know if he's going to leave the game, but it's certainly been discussed with his parents. Like, I don't know. You guys should just be here just in case. So what I saw, what I heard is that he's done. There is a piece of me that thinks that that is not how he wants to go out, because part of me thinks that he half-assed it, and he never half-asses it. So, you know, I think he wanted to not – he retired because of his family situation. Obviously, the, you know, trying to make Giselle happy, I think, is what we can read in the tea leaves. And in the end, this trickled into him not training properly. He wasn't quite there 100% physically. Last year he was tip-top shape. This year he did not look that. He looked slow and clunky, and his deep ball stunk. There's a part of me that thinks that he wants to give it one more go. Just like, I'm going to go 100% one more season. But then I flip back and I say, you know what? That all this could just be going back to like him knowing that this is the end, right? Like, I couldn't give it 100%. That's my signal to get on out of here. So that's what I mean. It's so tough. It is so tough. But without Giselle, without the family situation, there is more optimism that he would play another season to clear his head and now not have something else kind of tugging at him.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Look, I
waffled through that. I waffled through, but that's literally where my heart is. It's like literally
kind of predicted a little bit of everything one right there.
I know. I ping pong through both. Like, you know, as I said, gun to head, I'll say he retires, but I don't believe that. Like, I don't, confidence level is a 2 out of 10.
Yeah. James and I have a plan of having basically a big old blowout because we disagree very strongly on Tom Brady's future, which is funny because neither of us actually has a beat on what Tom Brady is thinking, but we're both pretty stinking sure we know what's going to happen. So we're going to talk about that coming up here in the offseason. It should be a fun conversation. I don't know if the network will be happy. Might be a little bit late on some of those ads there, network. offseason bold prediction. Give us an offseason bold prediction. I don't care where you go with it. You can go draft, you can go free agency, trade, hire, fire, sign, re-sign, don't sign, release. I mean, maybe the Bucks release Mike Evans. I'm not saying it. Evan said it.
No, I'm not saying that.
An offseason bold prediction.
My bold prediction, assuming under the assumption that Tom Brady's not returning, is that Levante David's gone. And that, I don't think that's going to be a thing that the Buccaneers want. I think it's going to be a thing where if this, you know, I heard Aaron Rodgers talk about it. Like, I don't want to be a part of a rebuild. And that's what he would be signing up for. And I think at Levante David's career, he's just, who knows how many of these types of seasons he has left in him. Right. And I think that he would, you know, walk away on really good terms with the fans and the organization, but he's got to do his best for him. And I think winning, if Tom Brady doesn't come back, there are a load of Super Bowl caliber teams that would sign up for Levante David. That guy really proved himself. And, if so, that would be the passing of the torch to Devin to really prove that he should be the long-term option in Tampa Bay as well. Because, you know, that's a delicate balancing act. And there's another bold prediction in my head that you would trade Devin White if you are rebuilding to get whatever draft capital you can have, because you don't want to sink that money into him after his fifth year.
Yeah, I mean, if you're rebuilding, you're not dropping, you know, what, $100 million? I mean, he said that's what he wants at the combine. It's been years, but you're not dropping $100 million on an off-ball linebacker if you're in rebuild mode. That's not how you rebuild an organization. And yeah, look, I mean, the Raiders are obviously a team that are rumored, speculated, put a heavy push on to get Brady. Josh McDaniels is there. Maybe Levante goes with him. You know, Levante with Max Crosby and those guys in that defense, I mean, he makes them very competitive. And I don't know if they can beat the Chiefs, but they can certainly compete better with the Chiefs, that they've got Tom and Levante and some other pieces.
Raiders is still a weird marriage.
I agree. I don't think the
defense is good enough, and I don't think the O-line is good enough. But they would have to.
Yeah, absolutely.
They would have to literally go to Tom Brady. This is what we're doing, A, B, and C, to fix our team. But even then, like, organizationally, the Raiders aren't world class, right? Yeah. Like, it would have to be a business decision. Like, the TB12 brand is putting a new store in Vegas, and we're going to bring Rob out there, and Gronk's going to come to Vegas because he's going to love living there for a year and make a party out of it. It's going to have to be something off the walls like that.
Absolutely, absolutely. So great stuff as always on WTSP Wednesday from Evan Klosky here. We thank you all for making the Locked On Bucks podcast first listen or your first view of the day. Now make Locked On NFL your next listen of the day, bringing you local insights and from the national spotlight and daily conversations with the biggest NFL stories. Locked On NFL, available on YouTube or wherever you get podcasts. If you want to get into the conversation with us, with Evan, doesn't matter, shoot us an email at lockedonbuckspodcast@gmail.com or hit the Locked On Bucks DMs on Twitter at LOBucks. Pretty sure that's a Twitter handle. For Evan Klosky, I'm David Harrison. James Jarko, if you can't tell, James Jarko and I are taking a day off because we need it. It's the end of the year. It's been a long season. We're just taking a day, guys. We will be back Friday with another live episode. Continuing, really. We've already started continuing our off-season coverage. So until we speak again, make sure you're checking out everything going on at BucksGameDay.com, BucksNation.com, and of course, 10TampaBay.com on TV, on the internet, on Twitter, everywhere. Follow us on Twitter at EKlosskyWTSP, at DHarrison82, and of course, at JRKO_Bucks. If you're out and about, please be safe, be kind to one another, wash your hands, fire those cannons anyway. And thanks for tuning into this episode of the Locked On Bucks podcast.